Hey, glad you're tuning in. We are in a series conversation called Ground Floor, looking at the basics of what it is we gather for. And so we said this, that the basics are not boring, but as we look at these things, we're looking at the gospel, we're looking at Jesus and what it means to be a follower, disciple of his. And then we're looking at the church and this worldwide movement that he started 2,000 years ago, as well as our part to play in the whole thing. I hope you enjoy this conversation today.
If I have not met you before, my name is Seth. I'm one of the interns here at Norton. I get to work with our students a lot, so high schoolers, middle schoolers, get to hang out with them. Love the opportunity that I get to do serve Jesus in that way. But I have one quick thing that I'd love to just let you guys know about. This is specifically for the guys in the room, so I'm sorry, girls, this does not apply to you. But we're just doing something. We're meeting over at Bob Evans, February 7th, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a Saturday, so you don't have an excuse because work. And so you should be there. It'll be a great time. We'll just hang out, eat some meals. It'll be great. But yeah, as I said, if I have not met you before, my name is Seth. If this is your first time, I would love the chance to meet you. So come up to me after. We'll be hanging out, playing Nine Square after groups and stuff like that. Love the chance to meet you. But we are going to kind of close a series that we started 3 weeks ago called Ground Floor. And so essentially, this series, we've been looking at going back to the basics, right? Kind of stripping down everything that can kind of be confusing about faith, about following Jesus. And we've kind of simplified it, looked at the fundamentals of what it looks like. So we've looked at the gospel, we've looked at discipleship to Jesus, and then last week we kind of looked at the church. And so I'm just being real for a second, right? It's really good to talk about what we believe, right? It's super important. But the ground floor of our faith, it only matters if it's the ground floor of our lives, right? We can say we believe something, but unless it goes into our lives, doesn't really matter all that much, right? And so we can know what makes sense of our faith, but have no clue how it makes sense of our lives, right? We can have an understanding of Christianity and an understanding of Jesus. We can grow up in the church, but somehow we can kind of go through the motions and it never affects our calendar, our day-to-day life. So what I want to get at tonight is this idea. How does our faith in Jesus makes sense of our lives? Right? That's kind of what we're going to look at. So we're going to be looking at questions kind of similar to this. What are we living for? What's the purpose of our lives? Why are we here? Like all of those sorts of questions, I want to kind of get not super clear-cut answers, but I kind of want a path forward for us as we kind of continue our walk with Jesus. And so how many of you guys have seen this movie before, The Maze Runner? Anybody ever seen Maze Runner? How many of you enjoy this movie? All right. I feel like I've never met anybody that's watched this movie and disliked it, so that means you should go watch it. All right? But if you've never seen The Maze Runner, don't worry. I'm not going to spoil it. But essentially, the premise of the movie is this, is that there are a group of guys that are trapped in this place called The Glade. All right? Now, The Glade is at the center of this giant maze. They can't scale the walls, but the doors, they open every morning, and they close every evening, right? And so the maze is super dangerous. There's things called grievers in there, and they will kill people. And so they're like, I would rather stay back in the Glade. And so they've kind of made a little civilization in there. Every once in a while, they'll ship up a new person through this, like, door thing. I don't know. It's strange. You got to watch it. But essentially, the Glade, they've kind of built this society where it's safe, it's controlled, they have jobs, right? It's comfortable, and they stay alive. Right? So they're like, I kind of like the Glade. But every once in a while, there's somebody called a maze runner. And this is somebody that what they do is every morning they wake up and they run into the maze and they try to map out the maze. They try and figure out how are we going to escape from here? Right? Because the Glade is safe, but it's just a slow death. Right? You're going to die in the Glade. So they're like, how can we escape this maze? And so that's the question kind of underneath the whole movie, is do you want to exist safely in the Glade, or do you want to live meaningfully? Like, it's hard to live meaningfully when you're stuck, right? So they're like, how can we get out of this? But the maze, it's risky, but the Glade is a slow death. And so I think, honestly, I know it's just a movie, but if we're honest, I think there's lots of times in our young adult years where we kind of have to choose between those two things. Like, am I going to risk it all? Am I going to go big? Or am I going to settle for the safe option? When we think of our lives, it kind of comes down to that. I think what happens is this. We kind of land on two different extremes. Either we live life to the full. So this is somebody that they're like, they're chasing the next hit, right? Whether it's partying, whether it's drinking, whether it's living just for the thrill of it, the next sexual encounter, whatever it is to fill that void. They're like, I'm going all in. And they're living careless. And their purpose is their passions. The reason they live is to fill their passions. Or I think maybe most of us in this room would fall into this category. They live their life safe, right? They go to school, because that's kind of just what you do growing up. And then you graduate, and then maybe you go to college, because that's just what you do. And then they graduate college. Maybe they get married in there if they're lucky, right? And then once you get married, maybe you have some kids if you're lucky. And then you get a job, and then you settle into that job. You work 40 years. You retire. You maybe have a grandkid or, if you're lucky. And then you die. Right? It's a safe existence. I'm going to work my 9-to-5. I'm going to be comfortable, and I'm going to get money, and it will be great. Right? And there's these two extremes that we often live in. But I want to ask you a question. Like, I want you to genuinely think about this. Is that all there is to life? Right? Is that really satisfactory? Whether it's a cheap thrill or a mundane existence, there is a quote that I love by a guy named Mark Batterson. He says this, quit living as if your life is to arrive safely at death. Break a sweat. I love that because it gets at this core of like, none of us want to live a meaningless life. Like none of us set out on our journey in life in young adulthood and are like, man, I want to do nothing. I want to do nothing that matters, right? We wouldn't say that. And so what I want to get at tonight is this, is that if we're truly honest, we want to break a sweat for something that matters. We all want to live a life that has purpose. And so what does that look like? Beyond just a cheap thrill, beyond a mundane existence. What does it look like to actually live a life that is thrilling and fulfilling? Can it actually be both? Can it be purposeful? So deep down, we all know that our lives are meant for purpose. We want it to be purposeful. So that leads us to our question, what is our purpose? But I think actually a better question to ask is, what did God create us for? Because I think that actually gets at the heart, right? Because the Creator created us for a purpose, right? And so I think to understand our purpose, we kind of need to start there. But I think what we'll find is this, is that the ground floor of faith that we've been talking about for 3 weeks, if that actually were to become the ground floor of our lives, the gospel, discipleship to Jesus, living a part of his church, if that actually became a part of our lives, it would produce the purpose that we're looking for. And so when we talk about purpose, it can be really easy as a church to just give you this spiritual sounding answer to the question, right? So I think of the Westminster Catechism. It says this, when you ask it, what is the chief end of man? Which is a fancy way of saying, what's our purpose? It says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you're like, sure, I mean, of course. Like, who's going to disagree with that, right? But as you may or may not know, the scriptures, it actually opens up with a very different kind of answer. Not a churchy answer, but it's one that's a lot more down to earth, literally. In Genesis 1:26, this is God saying, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. The first moment that we see humanity, we see that God gives us a purpose. That the Bible, it doesn't start with salvation, but it starts with our vocation. It starts with work, right? God gives us something to do. And this is not evil. Sometimes we have a wrong version of work in our minds. We're like, I just work so I get money. right? But this is the type of work that's fulfilling. It's like you get done with it and you're like, you look at the work that you did that day and you're like, I loved doing that. That type of work, that is what God is saying. He's inviting us into it, right? That he created us for work. That God, he didn't create us to be passive bystanders in his story, right? God didn't just create us so that we would roam the earth aimlessly, right? He created us so that we could be co-workers with him, that we could work alongside of him. That's how it was meant to be in the beginning. How many of you guys remember the first time you drove a car? Anybody remember the first time you drove a car? For me, I was 15 and a half, and I had just gotten my permit. And my dad, he took me to an empty parking lot. And we swapped seats and everything. I got in the driver's seat for the first time, which just felt weird. And he's like, all right, I need you to adjust the mirrors. I need to move the seat up a lot. And so I was like sitting there. I was probably a freshman. No, I was a sophomore. And I was sitting there in the car. And my dad says, all right, before you do anything, cars in park, what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands on the wheel, 10 and 2. Like, I want you to rev the engine. It's like, I want you to feel the power of this Subaru Forester that is your mom's, right? It's like, I just want you to feel the power that you're working with. Like, I just want you to be a part of it. I want you to experience it. I want you to know what you're about to do, and then I want you to learn. I can just imagine, like, God, when he's creating mankind, he, like, puts him in the driver's seat, and he's like, yeah, rev the engine. Yeah, you see those legs I made you? Like, that's pretty cool. Learn to use those. See those hands that I created? You can do stuff with them. See this world that I created? You can do stuff. Right? Like, I just imagine that sort of excitement. Like, my dad wasn't as excited, I don't think. I think he was a little nervous, honestly. But he was like, you're a part of it, right? That God, he creates us, and we're not backseat drivers. Like, he creates us, and we have a role to play in this whole thing. I think sometimes we act like God is up there doing his thing, we're down here doing our thing, and we're living two separate lives. And we separate God from our world, which just seems impossible to me because he created our world. How can you separate him from it? He created it. So he's created us to do something in the world. What I love is this, is that you were created on purpose for a purpose. That's what we read about in Genesis. That to rule is to have a purpose. And that's not just Adam and Eve. He's talking about all of mankind. And so the good news is this. I need you to follow me for a second. If you are in this room, you are created by God. Everything in this room, created by God. And God, he does not create things without a purpose. So if you are in this room, you have a purpose. It's what God created us for. In other words, creation, it just tells us that we have a reason to be here. We have a reason to live. But as we read on in the story of Genesis, we see that it doesn't guarantee that we will live out that purpose, that sin enters the story in the following chapters. And what it does is it starts to distort our view of our purpose. So we don't lose our purpose, but it distorts our purpose. So sin, it distorts why we are here and what we are living for. If you look at the world around us, even if you look in your own life, you see this to be true. Right? That's why we separate our life from whatever God's doing upstairs. We think it's two separate things. We think that God is not active in our world. So when it comes to our real life and our faith, I think there are some core lies that we start to believe. What I mean by that is this. I think we see clear distortions in how we picture our relationship between God and real life. Most of us, I think we carry around this sort of mental picture. I think of it like this, an unattached faith. This is kind of what I was just describing. When we think of our life, we think of whatever God's doing somewhere upstairs in heaven. He's being all holy and glorious, and I'm down here, and I'm just doing my thing. Right? I'm working my 9-to-5. And this is what sin does. is it convinces us that our lives don't have implications and our lives don't really matter. Because when God is involved in it, there is purpose. Right? God is purposeful. And so faith and life, they exist kind of side by side, but they never actually touch. We believe the right things. We agree with Christian ideas. But belief, it kind of stays theoretical. Faith never makes it into real decisions about our work, about our relationships, or our time. So what we see is we feel purposeless because we've detached God from our story. I think there's a second picture where I think a lot of us can fall at times, and it's a Sunday faith. Right? My life and God, they do intersect, but it's one time a week for about an hour. You know, I rush in, I sit in the back, I listen to the sermon, and I walk out. You know, like, that's my time with God. And we have these moments, and you're like, man, I experience what it's like to have a relationship with God. And then I go about my week, and I feel despair, and I feel loneliness. And I'm like, man, why? I'm still living 95% of the time detached from God. Right? God is a player in the whole thing, but he's not a part of my life. So it's only in small, controlled moments, whether that's church, whether it's a Bible study, a prayer before meals, that faith is present, but it's limited. I think all too often this is where we're at. As I was thinking about this, I'm like, this is where I'm at a lot of the time. Right? I find myself falling into this, where I can go through the motions at church. I can look really good. I can show up to the thing. But am I actually enjoying time with God? That maybe the reason I don't feel purpose in my life is because I've detached God from 95% of it. So what we often do is we place Jesus into our lives instead of building our lives on him. We don't reject Jesus. Like, it's Jesus. I can't reject Jesus. But we just rearrange him. Just kind of move him around. Like, yeah, he's important because he's got his day. I give him my Sunday mornings. So what happens is we let Jesus inform our beliefs, so we believe the right thing, but not always our calendars. We let Jesus shape maybe our morality, but not always our ambitions. We trust him with our eternity, but hesitate to trust him with our job, our money, our relationships, or our future. Which, doesn't that just seem so backwards to you? Like, that just seems crazy to me. I'll trust him with the most important and eternal thing, but everything else down here, he doesn't really care about. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a God that I want to follow. And thankfully, that's not the God we follow. Right? He cares about us. We see oftentimes we're just not paying attention to him. That God, he is with us. He is among us. Matthew 7, there's a story where Jesus, he sits down kind of in front of some crowds, and he says this. He's talking to some people. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Then we see Jesus continues his story. He says this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. That in this story, we see that Jesus, he's painfully clear. The difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder is not belief, is not even proximity. Right? Like, they hear Jesus loud and clear. They both build a life. They build their house. They both experience storms. It's a story about what are we going to build our lives on? What are we going to build our lives on? Is it just our ambitions and our passions? Are we just living for the thrill of it? Are we just living safe? So one builder, he hears Jesus, and he lets his words shape real life. The other one, he hears Jesus, but he kind of keeps him at a distance. He says, I hear you. I'm going to do my own thing. So one, he integrates faith into the foundation of his life, and the other, he adds faith on top of it. That's exactly what we've been talking about. That oftentimes what we do is we distance God from our real life. And so we were created for a purpose. Part of that purpose is we get to live with God. So what Jesus, he's exposing here, is not a lack of spirituality. Like they know the things, they heard Jesus. But it's a lack of integration. The foolish builder, he's not rejecting Jesus, he's just rearranging it. He hears Jesus' words, he agrees with them, but he doesn't let them determine the structure of his life. And he pays the consequence. I think so many times in my own life, I find myself in that spot. I go to God saying, God, why is this happening? He's like, let's dig. Let's dig down a little bit. What have you been finding joy in? If I took away all the things that mattered to you most, would I be gone? Right? He's exposing what is at the heart of our lives. So we see in the story of the builders that it's unattached faith and it's Sunday faith. So up to this point, we've kind of talked about different ways people relate to God and life. God kept separate or God overlapping sometimes. But there's another picture that I think captures what Jesus is inviting us into. It's not just a moment. It's not compartmentalizing him. It's not just a one-time decision to follow Jesus when I'm four. But what it is it's walking with Jesus. That a realistic version of what it looks like to build my life on Jesus, to have the foundation of Jesus, is not to live a perfect life. That's not what Christians are called to do. But we are called to abide with Jesus, to spend time with him, to intersect and intertwine our lives with his as much as we can. You notice that God's line stays the same. Oftentimes, it's our attention and our focus that we get distracted with things that might be good. Like, God created us for work. It's good that you have a job. All right, like, I need you to hear me say that. It's good that you have a job. God is happy with that, actually. But he created us to do things with our hands. But what I'm saying is this, is oftentimes we reject Jesus and push him to the side of our lives and we wonder why. But our lives, they really don't move in straight lines, and we know this, right? There are highs and lows. There's confidence and doubt. There's clarity and confusion, faithfulness and fear. There's moments you feel close to God, and there's moments you feel far. And so walking with Jesus, it doesn't mean life suddenly kind of smooths out for you. It means that in every season, we find our purpose in what God has called us to do. That looks different for each of us, but there are some similarities that we'll talk about. But faith, it's not just belief. Faith is a tangible trust in God. What does that mean? When I read the Bible and I read that God is faithful and that he meets me in the midst of my brokenness, that means when I sin, I don't run away from him. I draw closer to him. I put my faith in him by trusting him. It's putting my weight on him again and again and again. Trusting him with decisions. Trusting him with obedience that might cost you something. Trusting him when the outcome isn't guaranteed. I think it is this, that sometimes we're searching for purpose and we abandon our faith. But faith is the gateway to purpose. Faith is actually how we discover the purpose for our lives. It's continually trusting Jesus. Not because faith it gives us this perfect plan, but it keeps you walking with the one who gives you direction. I love that when Jesus calls his first disciples, he doesn't really give them a 5-year plan. He's kind of a stranger who shows up while they're fishing, and he's just like, hey guys, come follow me. Right? And you're like, who in their right mind would follow a stranger? Right? Like, they're just fishermen. And in that moment, I thought about this a lot. Their faith was shown because they're like, all right. They're like, what could I lose? I'll follow this guy. Right? Like, they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They didn't believe that he was God yet. They were just like, this guy's asking me to follow. I'm going to do that. They leave what's familiar, but they trust Jesus with their future. And they take a step without knowing the outcome. And only after they follow Jesus for about 3 years do you see that their purpose starts to come alive. They were literally just following this guy around while he did really awesome stuff. And they're like, I think this guy is the savior of the world. Right? Like, that's what they did for 3 years. They were like, yeah, I'll travel around while you cast out demons and stuff. Like, that sounds like a cool gig. Right? They didn't know their calling. They didn't know their purpose in all of it. But Jesus, he says in that initial, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They're like, I have no clue what you're talking about, man, but I'll follow. That purpose, it doesn't really come before trust. Sometimes we're like, God, if you make my purpose really clear, then I'll trust you. But I think we have it backwards. What if it's actually the continual trust in Jesus that makes your purpose clear? That faith is actually scary when you think about it like that. Right? It's like tangible trust. Like, God, I'm actually going to take this step, and I don't know if there's anything there. So if you're a part of the band, you can make your way up as we close here. But Jesus, he never called people to a safe faith. Like, I just need you to know that. Like, he didn't call people to a safe faith. At the end of his ministry, he looked at those disciples that he called, and he said this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That those same fishermen that he had said, come follow me, had no clue what their purpose was. They're like, I was just fishing. I was just doing my job. Thought that's what I would do forever, family business. But Jesus gives them a clear purpose. He says, go. Go into real places, real relationships, real lives. That the Great Commission, it isn't about adding another religious activity to your schedule. It's Jesus inviting you into his work. This takes us back to Genesis. This is God saying, hey, sit in the driver's seat. You have a part to play in this whole thing. that there are people that have no clue who I am, that they are living their life totally separate. They're trying to find purpose without God. That this is Jesus calling all of us. This is not just to his disciples. He's saying to all of us, you have a purpose. Go into your real workplace, into your real friendships, into your real life. That God, he's always been at work in the world. He didn't create us without a purpose. We see that Jesus accomplished that work. And we see that Jesus, he's inviting us into that work. I think there are a lot of times as Christians, what we do is we boil down the gospel to just this thing that saves us. We're like, yeah, Jesus is a cool guy because he did all that miracle stuff and he saved people and he saved me. All I need to do is say the prayer and we're good to go. And he did, right? He did save us. But Jesus on the cross, he did not just save us from our sins, but he sends us into the world, right? He gives us a part to play. And honestly, sometimes work is hard because you're breaking a sweat. But we weren't created to coast through life and arrive safely at death. We were created to walk with God, to trust him, and give our lives to something that actually matters. That purpose, it's not going to be found playing it safe in the glade. But purpose is found in joining the mission of God. The good news is this, that Jesus, he doesn't send us and just say, you're on your own now. He'll say at the end, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That God is with us. So the question isn't, do you believe? The question is, are you willing to walk with him? Are you willing to actually put your faith and trust in him? To say, this is where purpose lies. A life lived with God, for God, on the mission of God, is a life worth breaking a sweat for. That is a life of purpose. So we're going to break out into some groups here, and we're going to worship together. Let me pray for us as we close. Lord, I thank you. Lord, for just everyone in the room tonight, I pray that, God, sometimes we can go through our life just in the motions, can kind of not think about what our purpose is, why we're here. And God, I just pray that each one of us would realize that in Genesis, you created us with a purpose. That we're not backseat drivers in your story, but God, you ask us to play a role. So Lord, we're grateful that you're a God who's not distant, you're not far off. But you came to be with us. You came to include us in your mission. God, we're forever grateful for you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. This recording is from the Young Adult Ministry at Grace Church, Norton Campus, and I want to let you know that if you're between the ages of 18 to 28, we would love to see you on Thursday nights at 6:30. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.